Revelation chapter 18 tonight, and I am actually excited about tonight as any time we're in God's Word, but let me tell you, on Sunday, we get to see the marriage supper of the Lamb, and there's hallelujah and praise going forth. We have to just get through this last little Babylonian section here tonight and understand things. So let's look at chapter 18, and in verse 1 it says, "After these things I saw another angel," so John the Apostle speaking here, "coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with its glory. And he cried out mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul soul, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, lest you receive of her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works. In the cup which she has mixed, mix double for her. In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment, sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as a queen, and I am no widow, and I will not see sorrow. Therefore, her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her." And let's pray. Father, we rejoice that we're not going to be here to be a part of any of that. We thank you for Jesus Christ, salvation. We thank you that you took the wrath for us and have given us, Lord, the exit plan to be with you during this time. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But Father, we pray right now tonight that you would help us. We live in the days of Babylonian enterprises right now, and it's very hard for us. But we trust, God, the power of your Holy Spirit will lead and guide us and use us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So when we looked at chapter 17, obviously we saw a little bit of what it's like with that one world religion that's happening. And so just in a real quick scenario, Jesus Christ says, hey, I want to inform you about the very last days here on earth. I'll put it down in a book. It's called The Revelation of Jesus Christ, The Revealing of Jesus Christ. And Jesus reveals who he is and the glory of who he is. And he says to us, and to every church, here's something that I want to say. I've looked at your life, your ministry, and there's things that I want to encourage you about. There's things I want to correct. And by the way, it's worth it because in not a very long time, you're going to be up in heaven. And up in heaven is the throne of God. And at the throne of God, they're praising and worshiping God and singing songs. And in heaven, we get to see a little bit about what things are like. There's a title deed to the earth, and there's only one person worthy to open that title deed. It's Jesus Christ. He opens it up and the seals are unfolded of this document, this scroll. And when we get to see the six sealed type of judgments that come forth, we realize, wow, there is the end time calamity coming. There's going to be a one world leader who's going to come with a sense of peace, but it'll last a short period of time. And then there's going to be war and famine and death. And the saints, the believers that come to the Lord during this time, they're calling out, how long, O Lord, will you allow this to happen? And then we get to see in chapter 7 that there's 144,000 Jewish people that God will seal specifically for this time. We believe that God is not finished with the nation Israel. So we need to be very heads up as believers at this time regarding our nation's position concerning Israel. We're going to see coming up here a reality of where our nation stands and where our leadership stands regarding Israel. Things have been postponed, but the aggressiveness and the wickedness in the hearts of people are not postponed. They're just growing and multiplying. So we have Iran in a very purposeful and declared way saying, we want to remove Israel off the map and into the Mediterranean Sea. They never existed. They shouldn't exist. And it's not their homeland. And we were there before them. Nothing could be further from the truth. It's God's eternal city. Jerusalem is. Jerusalem is the fought after city in the nation. And so there's battles that are taking place. Russia is keyed up at this time. The surrounding nations around Israel as well. You see the work of China and their involvement. So things are very, very intense. And for us as believers, we do believe that God is working through the nation Israel. He's never forsaken them at all. And we will pray in that regard for them. And we're watching. It's a very centerpiece in end times prophecy. If you remove Israel from your end times thinking or eschatology, the study of end times, I don't know what you come up with, but it's not biblical. It's the key right there. Jesus Christ is coming back to this geographical location. He's coming back. We're going to see it in Sunday's message. He's coming back. He's literally coming, and we're coming with him. The battle, the final battle, and as he puts his feet on the Mount of Olives, literally, and it splits. So we believe that to be true. When we see right here, this that is presented to us in what I just read, in the very end, there is a spiritual, commercial, political Babylon that's taking place. When we see back what I was speaking about with the nation of Israel in chapter 7, and then we begin to see that there's trumpet judgments after that, and then the bowl judgments that come after that, and in the midst of all of that, God says, by the way, I'm sending two representatives from heaven, perhaps Moses and Elijah. We saw it in chapter 11. They're going to be my representatives. They're going to be on here. They're going to be proclaiming my word. The whole world's going to see their proclamation. Their whole world's going to see the power of God coming through them. And they're going to kill them. And when they kill them, the world is going to party for 3 days. They're going to give presents to one another. We got rid of them. And then they're going to rise up from the dead. But are we not living at a time right now where everything that we are doing to reach out with the love of God and the truth of God and the reality of God, so many people would just as soon see us dead than alive right now. They don't want to hear this truth. They don't want to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't want to repent. So God is allowing right now, regardless of the outcome, which we see the outcome, but God is allowing it. God is saying, you know something? You like worldliness? You like ungodliness? You want to serve yourself? Have at it. Have all you want. You want unrestrained behavior? Have it. You want it? You want it? Have it. Feast on it. And so for us, we're repulsed by it. It's one thing to participate, you know, as an individual in sin, but another thing for your governments in place to protect you, to condone, sanction, and promote ungodliness. That's what they're doing. And then to bring a charge against me because I say that's unbiblical, ungodly, immoral, and perverted, according to God's word. And the tables are changed against me. But we'll stay strong to what God's word is. God's word said, take it up with him. I'm just repeating what God said. And I'm going to live with God. I mean, I'm going to live up to what God has called us to do. So we see this happening right now. And God is saying, if that's what you want, you can have it. Feast on it. You know, Moses was leading the people. And just for a short time, he went to be with God to get the commands of God. And in this short little intermission, the people were already creating an idol to worship. God says later on, I've taken care of you every day. I have food for you. Every day a provision. Manna from heaven. Manna means, what is it? Some of you have looked at dinner at night. We have a manna again. But what is it? It means, what is it? And God says, it's fresh every day for you. My provision for you. I'm taking care of you. Your clothes aren't wearing out. I'm providing for you. And they complained, oh, we want something else. We want quail or whatever. Is that what you want? Just God saturated them with that. See, he tells us tonight when we were reading, and you saw in verse 4 of chapter 18, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins and lest you and receive her plagues. And for us, that's it. We're trying to come out of this world and the worldliness that we're in. We're trying to live apart from that, be separated from it. And it's hard, isn't it? It's difficult. It's not easy. But it's the purpose of our heart. That's what we want to do. We don't associate ourselves with ungodliness and with the things of this world. We want to be, there's no compromise. We want to be known as people that don't compromise. We want to be known as a body of believers. We obey the Lord. We obey what he has. What has God said? That's what we want to do. That's what we want to follow. So he is saying here, you can have it. You want it? You can have it. You want all your religions together and you want to all be one and you don't want to look at Jesus Christ and the cross of Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. You want to ignore that, you're going to be destroyed. So in the end times, a world religion with a world government system, with the Antichrist and the woman, which is in a symbolic way, she's riding the beast. This whole religious system and governmental world system with the Antichrist leading that way. But about the 3.5-year period, the Antichrist is going to do like that to the religious system. It's going to do away with it, the 3.5-year mark. Don't you see already? Don't you see how politicians want to use religion to get their position? Of course they do. They want to use that. And religion will accommodate in unbiblical ways many times that. They want that. They want to use it. They realize the power in that. And then when the political leader, the Antichrist, the 3.5 years, he's going to destroy, that's 17, the death to that religious system and the prospering of the economic system. And you'll see when we look at verse 5, for her sins have reached to the heaven and God's remembered her iniquities. No one's going to get away with it. And the destruction is going to be so quick and so violent and so difficult. I want to make another point in here. When he's speaking about, as we saw in verse 7, you lived luxuriously, it's very clear that the Lord blesses us, doesn't he? The Lord gives us what we have. It's from him. There's no sin in that at all. There's no sin to have possessions, and some may have more than others. Praise God for the blessing. Whatever God has provided, he's asked us just to be good stewards over what he's given to us. And what he's communicated to us, if our possessions possess us, then it's wrong. And we need to deal with that or liquidate. But if we're good stewards over what he's given to us, praise God for that. They don't dominate us or dictate to us. We're not living for them. We're using them in a way that prospers others. It's a blessing to God. Thank God for that. Because Jesus speaks about that. Specifically, I'll just read quickly here, but out of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is speaking in Matthew chapter 6, and he says, do not lay up for yourself treasures. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth, rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So where your treasure is. So all you have to do is look at the stewardship of the resources that God has given to you, and you'll know where your heart is and where your treasure is. And it's a joy. That's why we have things like the Christmas boxes, and then we'll have a tree gift that we'll give to children of people in prison here in Whatcom County in jail. We're also having, and I communicated today with Far-Reaching Ministries. How many of you know Wes Bentley from Far-Reaching Ministries? My, oh my. Can you do me a favor sometime in the next couple of days? Can you look up Far-Reaching Ministries? Far-Reaching Ministries was founded by Wes Bentley. And you should see the work that God has called him to do. He trains men in Africa to become soldiers for Jesus Christ. We call them chaplains, but really when you look at them, they're soldiers. And you know, in these sickened areas, and what they're doing to children and women, he trains men to go in and they will die and have died and do die. They don't return for the sake of who they're laying their lives down for. It's a tremendous ministry, far-reaching ministry. And he's actually going to come here and present the ministry to us. He's been doing it for years. And you will meet a very humble individual. And there'll be opportunities after. We've been sponsoring some of these men ourselves personally for years. There'll be opportunities, like we sponsor Compassion Children, to sponsor this gospel representative in those places. What I'm saying is that I thank God for our fellowship, that you're mindful of the kingdom of God. You're mindful of your life and the stewardship of what God's given to us. And we're very thankful for that. And we're living at a time philosophically that is entirely in opposition to the Bible. We want to be people that depend upon God and not a government or a person or anything else. We depend upon God. God leads our lives. We respond to God. God provides for us. God uses his fellowship to accomplish his work. And I think the sad thing is that the church has been asleep for a period of time and has allowed the government to move into a position that really much of that is to be handled by the church, the body of Christ, the believers. And we're seeing things moving very strongly in that direction. And what they're looking to take what I say from us. I want to be the distributor. I want to give as God leads me to give. I want to help as God leads me to help. I don't want the government to take beyond what is rightfully a good stewardship on their part because they want to do what they want to do. I want to do things for the kingdom of God and the people of God and be mindful, give to Caesar the things that are Caesar, God the things that are God. But when you have a philosophy in place that says, you know, at a convention, we no longer want to put the name of God in our platform at all, nor Israel. We want to remove that. That's the days that we're living in. We don't want God. But you want to say, God bless America, but you don't want God? You think he's going to respond to that? So when we're looking here and we've seen what's taking place in these days and in this time that we're living in, in the collapse of all of this, turn over to chapter 18, verse 9. The kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxurious with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning standing at a distance, verse 10. And you'll see, for fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, or woe, woe, the great city of Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come. Most of us have seen and probably a live feed on TV when 9/11 happened. And we literally saw planes going into the building. And we literally saw the collapse of those towers in such a short period. It was unbelievable. And I was just thinking what it must have taken to build those. So not just the construction, but all the planning in advance of the construction, and then floor by floor, all the way up, what it took to build those and to see within a short period of time, all of that collapsed. And I think as a visual within our minds, that's what he's saying right here, that this great city, this great economy, this great thing is going to be gone in a moment. That's why we invest in the kingdom of God. That's why we serve God. That's why we live for God. And God recognizes that. And this is something for us that we have to guard our hearts from, because the world says, join me. Join me. Join the things in this world. Be a part of the world. And it's inviting, and it's enticing, and it's seductive. But God says, watch out and be careful. Because if, in a sense, you partner up with the world, and they use terms like fornication, in other words, your love for the world is greater than your love for God. You just love the world. You live for the world. We're in danger. Notice in verse 11, and the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for one buys their merchandise, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. Merchandise of gold, silver, precious stones, pearls, fine linen and purple, silk and scarlet, and every kind of wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of the most precious wood, bronze, iron, and marble, cinnamon, incense, frankincense, oil, wine and fine oil, flour and wheat, cattle, sheep, horses, chariots, and bodies of souls of men. The fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you, and all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more at all. So we're living in a time right now that, according to the scriptures, there is going to be, I believe, a real continual economic collapse. There's going to be the need for the rising up of this new government, a new system. If you look at Daniel and you follow the prophecies in Daniel and according to Revelation, it seems to indicate that there is a revived Roman Empire. Most commentators will communicate that. And that empire will have 10 nations to it. So whether they're geographical nations or just how that forms, I don't know. But of this world system that's coming, the Antichrist is going to be the dominating figure, the dominating leader of the world system that's coming. And there's going to be great prosperity in the very beginning, tremendous prosperity. We're gone as believers. There's a work that he's able to do with the Middle East. The tensions we feel right now, he's able to bring a sense of peace around the world at the beginning of the tribulation. But things are moving to a way to bring about that whole collapse in the rising up of that world leader saying, that's what we need. And we've seen how that can really literally take place. We can see how people's hearts are just moved to be responsive to something like that. Take care of me. And that's what's going to happen, but it won't last long. And the destruction will be great. Again, if we look in verse 16 and saying, woe, woe, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. I said to my wife last night, I says, won't it be interesting? I says, let's look at the stock market. We don't own any stock, but I pay attention. I says, let's look at the stock market in the morning. It'd be very interesting. That was one of my comments last night. And of course, it dropped like 300 right out of the tank. I don't know what it ended up at. But it's interesting how all these things play together in a very interesting scenario. Verse 17, for one in 1 hour, such great riches came to nothing. Every ship master and all who traveled by ship, sailors, and as many as trade on the sea, they stood at a distance and they cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what is like this great city? And they threw dust on their heads and they cried out weeping and wailing and saying, alas, alas, the great city in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth. For in 1 hour she's made desolate. Rejoice over her, O heaven. And you, holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. There's a reality to all of this. It was interesting. I was blessed to meet with Jan Mann on Monday and another lady as well as we are preparing for the memorial service, and that'll be this Saturday. So the memorial service is this Saturday. It's at 3 o'clock, and it's at Calvary Chapel just outside of Linden on the Badger Road. It's called Creekside Calvary Chapel on the Badger Road at 3 o'clock, and you're all welcome to come and be a part of that. And Tim had asked that I would say something in the service. Pastor Tony will be leading the service and just trying to meet with Jan and just refresh my heart with her and him and their relationship. And basically, he only had 4 years from when he came to the Lord. And two of those were dealing with cancer. So 4 years. And God gave him, I believe, a great hunger for the word immediately, which he took in and was growing in the Lord greatly. And I asked her about this. And I said, how did he actually, you know, come to the Lord? And she said that, and I remembered as she was telling it. You know, they live locally here, but he was actually preparing to box, moving towards kind of a professional boxing deal, and was looking for a rock and roll station on the radio. And he came across our Calvary satellite network at the time, and he heard the gospel. When he's looking for a rock and roll station, he heard about the rock, Jesus Christ. And he just got excited that day. And I believe it would seem like that day, that week, or whatever, and he gave his life to Jesus. And I says, well, how do you know he did? Because of his love, he changed. Because of his love, he changed. He changed. When we're looking at this and we're seeing what is ahead for the world, and as we go through national elections and as we see all the things that are going on in the world, and you say, and the world says, we want to take care of you. And the government says, we want to take care of you. And the nation says, we don't care what God has. We're interested in something like that. We don't want to exalt God in righteous living. We'll vote on it. Our representatives voted on it, and they were all happy about it. But the citizens said, we need to have a vote. And the citizens voted. They said, we feel it's okay to get stoned. It's okay to be grossly immoral. We want to be accepted. And we see this right here. And I'm saying, I don't want what this world has to serve. I want to taste and see that the Lord is good. I want to serve Jesus. I want to serve his word. I'm going to bring his word. We're bringing his word. We want to bring Jesus. We want to bring the truth, the grace, and the love of Jesus to everybody in every situation, regardless. And we're not going to try to make it palatable. It is what it is. It is truth. It is love. It is grace. And we're not going to get caught up in any foolishness of trying to be, in a sense, relevant to a culture. The culture stinks. It's ungodly. We're going to be who we are in Christ. Men and women in Christ. That's who we are. And that's how we live. God rules us. As I said in my blog, I vote for him every day. I elect him as Lord of my life every day. That's where I cast my ballot. Every day, Lord, you are Lord of my life today. And tomorrow, I'm going to live for you. We're going to serve you. We're going to believe in you. We're not being intimidated by the world or ungodliness. You're not going to intimidate us. The Lord is with us. He's in us. And we just don't go for this sense of intimidation, and that's what the strategy is usually of the enemy. The enemy is to intimidate you, to make you fearful, to make you back off, when in fact all of this only emboldens us all the more. It emboldens us. No, this is the truth. I don't care if you don't want to be my friend anymore. It doesn't matter to me. If you're not a friend of God, you're going to reject. If you reject God, we're talking about eternity. It's not about me, you, friendship, or future. I don't care if you're my mother, brother, sister, or whatever. This is real. Jesus is real. It's about him. It's about the future. And so if we just tiptoe around and then you go to hell, so what good was that? Verse, I'm just going to give it all of my heart, all of my love, all of God's word, all of God's truth. You deal with God. Quit dealing with me. Deal with God. It's what he said. And finally, it says in verse 21, then a mighty angel took up a stone and a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, thus with violence the great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found anymore. And the sound of the harpists and the musicians and the guys that play flutes and the trumpeters shall not be heard in you anymore, nor the craftsmen. So what he's saying again, anymore. And the sound of a millstone shall not be heard in you anymore. The light of a lamp shall not shine in you anymore. And the voice of a bridegroom and a bride shall not be heard in you anymore. For the merchants were the great men of the earth. For by your sorcery, all the nations were deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and saints, of all who were slain on the earth. And again, as I said, when we opened up tonight in verse 23, you have marriage and you have sorcery right here in the scripture. Marriage and sorcery. Marijuana is pharmakia, it's sorcery. Obviously, the devil in that realm of darkness, sorcery. And in marriage. And believe me, on Sunday, we leave everything. Chapter 6 through 18. Praise God, because you look at verse 9, chapter 19, verse 1. I heard a loud voice and a great multitude and saying, hallelujah! Salvation and the glory and the honor and the power belong to the Lord, true and righteous. I can't wait. This is so good. Coming up here, it's a blessing. But friends, when we look on Sunday at chapter 19, it talks about the marriage supper of the Lamb. And what our state has done regarding marriage is blasphemous. It's nothing short of that. Because he directs us to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Jesus Christ is calling us to have dinner, to have supper with him. We're invited to this supper. You see, the reference is this. Our weddings are a little bit different than what are in the Bible. So in our weddings here, I stand up here. The groom is here, and the bride's coming down the aisle, correct? We're all excited, and everybody stands. It's not how it goes in the Bible. This is how it goes. At a very young age, parents, before their children are even able to relate to one another, they'll organize the sense we want our siblings to marry each other. And it speaks about being betrothed to one another. Remember, Mary and Joseph were betrothed. It's a legal contract. It's a legal agreement. I mean, only way to break it is through divorce. And then as the time moves on and is getting to this place, and in this culture, it would be young. You know, certainly before 20, probably somewhere in the later teens. And this is what would happen. The groom would be the one who would have the money, the dowry, to give to the bride's father right there, a sense of security. So when the right time came, the bride was waiting always. And the bride was waiting with her virgin friends, bridesmaids. And at the right time, the groom would come. And when the groom came, there was a great feast going on for several days. Everyone was celebrating what was going on. And at the end of several days of celebration, they would go over to the groom's father's house, and there they would have a blessed marriage supper right there. And then they would have the ceremony, and then the bride and groom would move off to consummate their marriage on a honeymoon. So when Jesus is saying the marriage supper of the Lamb, brothers and sisters, we're the bride, the church, and we're waiting for the groom to come. We're waiting for the groom to come. And when the groom was coming through the streets, you could hear the sound and the noise and the expectation as the groom was coming. And we are ready. And our lanterns are lit. We're waiting and ready for Jesus Christ to come. And he's going to come and get us. And we're going to celebrate with him and have a marriage supper of the Lamb of God in our Father's house. That's what it's speaking about. So when our state and other states take this blessed and sacred truth and pervert it, friends, we're going to face the judgment of God. That's what's happening. And that's why inside it's just like, this isn't right, because you know. So we just call out to God for mercy. We just call out for God for mercy. Lord, we're so sorry. This holy and sacred thing, the very thing we're waiting for. Hallelujah, he's come, the very thing. And Satan is behind all of that. Of course he is. He's the one that wants to destroy what God has called sacred. And he'll go to any lengths to destroy what God has called sacred. Let's stand for prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, we prayed on Sunday and we asked for forgiveness, Lord. We called out and we said, God, have mercy on us. We called out, Lord, that there would be a stopping of such a terrible referendum, such an ungodly act. And we pray, God, now that it has passed, but you have not approved it. It has not passed in your sight. It does not override your truth. And I pray, God, that you would help us as fellow believers in Jesus Christ to bring about the proclamation of this truth. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the bridegroom coming for his church, the bride. May it not tarnish the sacredness in our own hearts and our own love for our Savior. God, we're calling out to you. It seems like it's now or never. And we pray, God, for the souls that are taken into this darkness and deception. We pray against the lies of Satan. And in Jesus' name, we rebuke these lies, these demonic things. In the name of Jesus, bring people to you, Jesus. Cause people to repent. May the repentance and brokenness be clear to people that thought, what? I thought you were with us. They say, actually, no, I'm now with Jesus Christ. We pray for that type of conversion taking place, breaking through the darkness, drawing people out of it and establishing them in the truth. And help us, Lord, as a ministry to strengthen the walk of every believer. And help us, Lord, not to live in fear, not to live in intimidation, but to live in the fullness of your love. That the love of God would be upon us, in us, and over us through the Holy Spirit like never before. And that only love would come from us and not hostility or being vindictive, but just love, the love of God, and confidence in the truth of God. I pray for that more than ever. Just confidence in God's word and let God deal with how people want to take it and receive it. May we give it graciously and in love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless. Amen.